Steve, I heard you in the big room this morning, and you talked about something about a coach's survey concerning two specific areas. Could you kind of, you didn't go into much detail about that, but could you kind of go over that for us?
Yeah, so a great question. The two areas of concern by the rules committee, first is blocking below the waist. The first thing about that, if we gave all of our coaches a quiz on blocking below the waist, when it's allowed, when it's not allowed, they wouldn't do very well on it. Certainly their players wouldn't. It's a very complex rule, and it needs to be rewritten. It needs to be simplistic. And there's also a player safety component. About blocking below the waist, and there's always that healthy debate against option teams and blocking below the waist versus open field and when we do that. So really the rules committee wanted for blocking below the waist, because it's such a player safety issue, to get kind of coaches' opinion. So we did a kind of out-of-scope survey to the coaches around blocking below the waist, very specific questions, and really want to get their opinion on that. The other component of that, which is probably a lot more emotional, is around ineligible receivers downfield and what their thoughts are about the 3 yard, you know, the old rule at 1 yard, when it, you know, should it be when the quarterback releases the ball, should it be when the ball crosses the line, and really to get their opinion on both of those areas, and really to see, you know, nationally, where do our coaches stack up on blocking below the waist and ineligibles downfield? So in the process now, it'll be fascinating what feedback we get from coaches. I think a lot of times on ineligibles downfield, you know, that's a Democratic Republican issue. I mean, you're not going to convince people of the other side. But we do want to get the coaches' feedback of what they think the rule ought to look like, how it should be officiated. And so I think that's the intent of those two surveys. And we'll have that good feedback for the Rules Committee to begin looking at as we look at rule changes for the future.
Next up, left side, second row. Name and affiliation, please.
Matthew Stevens, Montgomery Advertiser. Steve, two-part question. One is, with the coaching box or coaching sideline rule, would you feel comfortable kind of categorizing that as similar to maybe the coaching box in basketball and how you want that officiated? And two, with the field goal, you know, leaping rule, can you kind of go into depth as to why you felt like and why the coaches kind of felt like that was needed?
Okay, two really good questions. So the first, let's talk about the coaches component. So, and this is not something specific to the SEC. This is a national mechanic. It's really not a rule change. The rules are there. But basically now, if a coach comes onto the field of play, onto the green grass, if you will, and debates, discusses, or, you know, is disagreement with any officiating decision, it's an automatic unsportsmanlike conduct. So why that? Well, you know, the officials, it had really gotten away from us. You know, now, you know, coaches were out on the field. We were always trying to walk them back. When should you flag them? When should you not? And I think we got very good direction from the rules committee that, hey, the rules are in place. And so, you know, going forward this year, if they come on the field to debate an officiating decision, it's an unsportsmanlike conduct foul. They can stay in the team area in the white. They'll be given all the latitude that they were given in previous seasons. And the reason why is really, I mean, the coaches are the face of our game. They're there. They're consistent. And, you know, and every coach in, you know, that has coached, they talk to their players about, you know, maintain your composure, show your class. They have their own words for that. And we were allowing coaches to do things that if a player did that, we would have flagged them in a heartbeat. So I think this is a way to kind of clean all that up. And then you say, well, why so rigid? Why? But you almost, if you give judgment in that, then the feedback we're going to get is, well, you know, you like this coach and you'd never flag him, but you flag this coach and that sort of thing. So now it's going to be very black and white if they come onto the field to play. It doesn't mean they can't come out. I mean, they can come out to coach their team. You know, we have rules around that. We'll back them up and all that. But it's actually coming out on the field to play to debate an officiating decision. That's what's going to draw the unsportsmanlike. And remember, you know, we've had this in the rule book for a long time. If a player gets too unsportsmanlike, he's disqualified. But we made a change recently to say now if a coach gets too, he's disqualified. But my hope is not from – I don't want more flags on coaches. That's a bad day for me. But the expectation is this will be a coaching behavior change and hopefully just clean it up. And I think they're committed to it. And nobody will be surprised by this. We spent a lot of time in Destin, all 14 coaches in the room. We looked at video. They all know what's a foul. And, you know, in a lighthearted way, I think a lot of them are looking at personal get-back coaches and finding ways, because they're intense people. And we're not going to change that. We're not trying to change that. And there's another responsibility to officials. You know, we've got to get to that boundary and give that coach information. So, you know, I don't want him out on the field. What was the call? Who was it on? I mean, because it's going to look like then, you know, he's debating that call. So it's going to put a requirement on us to get to the coach, give him information, you know, and answer his questions and stay on the boundary. Yeah. So we saw, you know, and I showed video in the big room. We had in the Vanderbilt-Auburn game, you know, a Vanderbilt player made a very athletic play. He leaped over the line, didn't touch anybody. And so the old rule, it was very complex. Where you leap from matter, if you landed on people or not. But when you leaped over, and if you didn't do it in a hurtling manner, then it was a legal play. But what happens is you have one of those that make it, but 10 or more that don't. And it's the ones that don't that get, you know, tipped over, go head first down, or kick the center. You know, the center raises up, boom, they kick them in the head. So it was really a player safety component. And the NFL is addressing it the same way. I don't know if you saw the Super Bowl. They had a similar type play. And so I think the rules committee said dangerous play. It's a great athletic play when it works, but when it doesn't, it's very dangerous to the leaper and to the offensive lineman that may be trying to block him. So they said, let's just take it out of the game. If you're in a stationary position within a yard of the line, you can leap, you can jump, you can do whatever. But if you run forward with momentum and leap to block the kick, then it's a foul.
Also here on the left side, second row.
Chris Walsh, SEC Country. Alabama fans last season were pretty vocal in the number of penalties that opponents were getting and the lack of them. And I'm curious, when that kind of complaint happens, does that even register on the radar, or is that something that you do or do not look into?
So maybe not reacting directly to fans, but, you know, what I want you to know is that we track, and with our database capability now, we track everything. I mean, we track every penalty flag that's thrown by an official. We track an official individually, you know, how many fouls that he has on his sideline he's standing on. You know, we flip now the linesman and the line judge at halftime. We flip them. So do you call more penalties on your sideline versus the other sideline? So are you influenced home versus visitors? So we're looking at all those components to see if there's a bias. You know, we always get, you know, somebody's going to be the most penalized team and somebody's going to be the least, you know, just that's how it works. The math is going to always have that. And so people naturally say, well, if they're the least penalized, the officials like them. And if they're the most penalized, they don't. But it could be how they play. So, and sometimes it's just how the game flows. So, but do we look at that? Absolutely we do. Do we evaluate all that? We're really looking, you know, there's no room for any bias. And so if there's certain things that show up on an official or a crew, you know, we'll see them and we'll address them. I really wouldn't want to comment on that. I mean, specifics on all of those, because like I said, you could track the last few years and somebody's always the most penalized team. And that's not necessarily the team that the officials don't like, or, I mean, that's how fans want to read it into it, but that's just not, you know, but if there is anything in there, rest assured, we'll see it. Hopefully we'll see it before the fans ask us about it, and then we'll take care of it.
Front row here, left side.
Hey, Steve. Ben Baby from the Dallas Morning News. I just want to know, were there any developments between Destin and now that we should know about?
Say that again?
Were there just any developments between Destin and now that we should know about, or everything's still the same?
No, just from a rule, you know, we had a nice session down in Destin to talk about rule changes. You know, certainly from playing rules, no. I mean, we've got a lot of discussion around, you know, recruiting rules and all this other stuff. But playing rules, no change. You know, we're locked in. We're set for the season, and, you know, we're ready to get it going.
We probably have time for one more question with Steve. Left side, second row.
Sorry, Steve. I hear as a reporter all the time, coaches will say, you know, I turned in that play because I don't think it was either officiated properly or there was no call at all. Does the league still use that as a tool, and is it still an effective tool, or is it just something now that just can make coaches feel better that they turned it in?
No, I mean, it's an effective tool, and the communication between myself and the coaches are so important. And people always think that it's some kind of controversial play before that happens. But the reality is it's a very routine deal. Every week coaches are turning in, you know, multiple plays. You know, I always encourage them, you know, keep it to single digits, because if you get to double digits, you're just mad about the game and I'm just going to call you and we'll talk generically as opposed to specifics. But what we do, and this was something that we really started, there's a couple conferences that are doing it now. You know, in the old days, they would send in plays. There's a big spreadsheet, you know, hey, we look at this play, the time, whatever, we think it's a block in the back. And then, you know, the coordinator would write back, no, not a block in the back. Well, that's not very helpful to the coach. He's like, yeah, it was a block in the back. So now I do a voiceover, and we do it. Cole Cunningham, our video guy, kind of runs the video. I talk over it. It's rough cut. We don't edit it. We're running it back, and I'm just talking over it. But we answer all their questions. I answer them. You know, we talk about transparency. I'm very honest with our coaches. If we got it right, I'm going to tell them. But if it's an incorrect call, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them why, you know, what failed on the play, what we have to do to correct it. But the feedback that I've gotten from that is they don't always like what I say, but it's helpful to them. You know, an example would be they send in a play, hey, that was a block in the back. And I say, no, it was not a block in the back. It was a side block. I talk about hand position, what our officials are looking at, how they make that call, how they make that judgment. It's very different than the old days. In the old days, we were taught if your head's in front, it's okay. If your head's not in front, well, now with extended hands, your head position has no. So they're able to gain information, you know, whether it's correct or incorrect, can help them coach their players more. So that is really, although when something controversial happens, they will say, hey, we're turning that in or whatever. But that's a very routine thing, and I think a very good process where we have good communications on a weekly basis with our coaches. It helps them be more knowledgeable how our officials are calling so they can teach their players better, and it's a good feedback loop. So done there, and, you know, but when the coach is upset, you know, they're very good about not criticizing publicly officials, but sometimes they have their way of saying it without saying it. And that's one of those methods. But we appreciate when they send those in. We're still grading every play. You know, interesting point on that. We don't tell the officials what plays the coaches send in, because the reality is, you know, the coaches would be worried, well, I may have that crew, you know, again, somewhere down the line. I don't want them to know, oh, you sent in all these plays on me. We film grade every play, but that's helpful to get the coach's view and opinion and then share it back. But our officials never know which those plays are, because we're grading every play from a film grading perspective anyway.